Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and I want to just kind of introduce the subject, and then we're going to transition into a time where you can ask questions from the leadership of questions you might have about this subject of the Holy Spirit. And you say, you know, I want to know more about this, or how does this work, and, you know, those types of things. And we'll be happy to field those questions and answer them as the best we can. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is what causes the Christian to be distinct from any other person on the earth. Think about it. Now, many of you know that recently there's been this big Hollywood blow-up with regard to Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, right, getting a divorce. And so much so that it's calling into question their religious beliefs. You know, of course, that Tom Cruise is the poster child for Scientology, which is just kind of a weird cult. But nonetheless, Scientology makes this claim. It says that it will teach you how to live life better, how to communicate better and have better relationships and be more successful in life. And so you can imagine, poster child Tom Cruise, third divorce. He's a living failure to the philosophy, the religious choice that he's made. And so the world is looking for what is genuine. What can really we know that's going to be something real? And they're looking at you and I as Christians, and they're saying, is this Jesus? Is this Bible true? Is this Christianity really got anything to it? Yeah, we can have truth from God's word, but if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit living through our lives, we are just trying to live the Christian life without any Spirit, without God, because that's who he gave us to put into our lives. Now, I'm going to run a quick clip from Francis Chan to kind of just introduce us to what I think is one of the greatest hindrances of why the church is not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll never eat sausage again.
I had this conversation with a friend of mine. Okay, I love sausage. I love salami. And I don't know how we got on this topic, but he goes, I'll never eat that stuff. And I go, why? And he told me, he goes, it's because I used to work in a slaughterhouse and we used to make it. And he started in on this story where he goes, you know how you put little ingredients into a cake? He goes, I used to come in with wheelbarrows full up, and I stopped him. I go, no, don't tell me. It's one of those la, 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 la. I don't want to know, because I want to keep eating this stuff and I want to enjoy it. I don't want to know how it's made. I don't want to know the truth. It's kind of like that when it comes to God. It's like, I like my life right now. I like the way things are going. And so, God, don't tell me what you really want me to do, because I'm pretty comfortable right now. So let me just keep believing that this is your will. Let me just keep believing that maybe you called me to a really, really comfortable life. And then once I'm done, you know, I get to go to heaven. It's even more comfortable. Let me just keep believing that, even though I know in scripture, I don't see you calling anyone else to a comfortable life. I just want to keep believing that. And I want to keep believing that sausage, salami, all that stuff is actually good for me. And maybe those little white specks are actually vitamins. So let me just live in my own world and enjoy it.
Okay. You know, I have to confess to you, as I've been studying for this message, I've been convicted, because I'm affected with the same disease that you are. I live in the same society. We all want a comfortable life. And if we'd be honest, really honest, we'd admit there's a lot of times we really don't want God to rock our boat. We kind of just want to stay in status quo. Do we really, really want to go all out in the Christian life? Because that's the struggle. Where does fruit grow? Steve and I were talking about this a week or so ago. It grows out on the end of the branches. Well, it's not until you're out on a limb with Jesus that you're going to find out about the power of the Holy Spirit and how much you need him. But most of us, we are trunk huggers, you know, and we don't want to go out there. It's scary out there. And so the Lord's been stretching me in the last few weeks in areas where I have to purposely put myself in places where I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer. It's tonight that the Lord just kind of pushes us out a little bit more from our comfort zone. We're ready to scooch out on the branches and say, Lord, I'm willing to go out on a limb just to see your Spirit work and trust that you're gonna use me. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a person. I think the Star Wars movies got us thinking, you know, the Force be with you. And we've equated, a lot of Christians have equated the Force to the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He has a mind, an intellect, a will, emotions. He has everything that a person has. He's not a force. He is a person. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, if I go, I'm going to send the Helper to you. It's needful that I send him to you. And when he comes, he's going to guide you. He's not going to speak of his own authority. He's going to take whatever he hears from me, and he's going to speak it to you, and he's going to tell you things to come. He's going to glorify me. He's going to declare the things of God to you. So in a very real sense, listen carefully, the Holy Spirit, he is the Jesus who lives in your heart. You know, we talk about Jesus being in my heart. It's through the Holy Spirit, the personal Holy Spirit. When he said he is another comforter, like we talked about Sunday, he's another of the same kind. When the Holy Spirit dwells within us, it's Jesus in us. Did you know the Holy Spirit has all the attributes of a person? You can grieve him. That's not a force, an impersonal force. We're told in Ephesians 4 not to grieve the Holy Spirit. He has a will that we can literally resist, and that's frightening. We can resist the Holy Spirit, and they did in the ancient days. In Genesis chapter 6, it says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. It's not going to strive with men. The Holy Spirit can be resisted, and that's a fearful thing for me, that I would resist him. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. So how many times have we really considered in our day-to-day lives, are my actions causing the Holy Spirit in me to be like grieved? Is this really saddening him when he listens to my conversation, when he watches where I go, what I do, how I say what I say? He can be grieved. He also is there to comfort us. We're told in the scriptures that he comes to comfort us. He also comes to convict unbelievers of three things. The Bible tells us he comes to convict unbelievers of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So when we go to share the gospel, we share truth with people, we don't have to be afraid because we're not the ones that bring conviction. We just bring the truth. It's the Holy Spirit's job. We can't change anybody. We can't convince anybody. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. He's the one that convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Amen? And it says he sanctifies us in 1 Peter 1:2. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he makes us more obedient to the Word of God. So when we become born again, our spirit becomes recreated and regenerated in Christ Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit now that takes and works that sanctification process, that born-again reality into our lives and teaches us how to live to be more and more like Jesus. We're not left on our own or as orphans. We are left with the Holy Spirit to help us to live the Christian life. We're never called to live it alone. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to change. And there was a cute little story that Francis Chan told his wife one day. And he asked her the question, have you ever wondered what caterpillars think? And none surprisingly, she answered, no. Never have wondered that. Then he says, I proceeded to tell her all about the confusion I imagine a caterpillar must experience. For all of its caterpillar life, it crawls around in a small patch of dirt and up and down a few plants. Then one day, it takes a nap, a long nap. And then, what in the world must go through its head when it wakes up to discover it can fly? What happened to its dirty, plump little worm body? What does it think when it sees its tiny new body and gorgeous wings? As believers, we ought to experience this same kind of astonishment when the Holy Spirit enters our bodies. We should be stunned in disbelief over becoming a new creature with the Spirit of God living in us. As caterpillars find their new ability to fly, we should be thrilled over our Spirit-empowered ability to, what? Live differently and faithfully. Isn't this what the scriptures speak? Isn't this what we've all longed for, he said? So tonight, what we want to talk about is flying. Talking about being a butterfly. What the power of the Holy Spirit did in us. And I want to use an example, the Apostle Peter. You may want to go there, Matthew chapter 26. I know I'm kind of going through scriptures quickly. That's why I've put the references in your notes so you can take the time and really look at them. But this one's interesting. And we know the story about Peter when he denied the Lord three times. And in chapter 20, he probably wishes we wouldn't read this all the time. In chapter 26, verse 69, it says, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you were also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Could we say that Peter is still a caterpillar here? He is a caterpillar. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he again denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. Peter, you are a caterpillar. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And then immediately the rooster crowed and said, Peter, you're a caterpillar. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept like a little caterpillar would weep bitterly. Peter, the caterpillar. But what happened in cowardly little caterpillar Peter that changed him into a powerful flying butterfly? Well, let's look in Acts chapter 2. It says in verse 14, but then Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you. Heed my words. And in verse 32, it says, this Jesus God is raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Whoa, Peter is flying. He's a butterfly now. What's changed? He had the Holy Spirit come upon him, didn't he? In the first verses of Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said to them in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God shall call. Does that include you and I? He's even preaching in his first sermon all the way to you and I today. Really, really, he could believe that God was going to literally call millions of people through the years, you and I, this same promise of the Holy Spirit. It's to us. So the change that took place in Peter could only be explained by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. And so often we are confronted with a situation to stretch out of our comfort zone, and what do? We freeze like caterpillars. We just freeze up. We're not to go back to that old thing. So the Holy Spirit, what, wants to help us do what literally is impossible to do without him. Impossible. But do we live in such a way that our lives are literally unexplainable apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are convicting words. I talked with the ladies last week. You heard some of their testimonies. And if you come tomorrow night to revival, you hear all of their testimonies and more stories. And they were blown away. What were they blown away by? The fact that they were absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and He came through for them all the time. Every day they were seeking the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us here. Holy Spirit, guide us there. You know, when Pastor Steve comes up and says, you know, brother, sister, I want to know if you'd like to do a communion focus. Maybe share your testimony. Right away. What do we want? What do we want? Just like, you know, no, Pastor, I don't want to. Where can I run and hide? If I'd have known you were going to ask me that, I'd have stayed home tonight. You know, but really, are we looking at our own resources? Or are we looking at going, well, you know what? That terrifies me. But can I believe that God can help me do what I couldn't do otherwise? And this is a sad thing for me as a pastor, and I have to talk to people about this that lose a loved one. But you know what? When someone loses a loved one, they are always disappointed and hurt because people, they expected to somehow be a part of their lives, call them, find out how they're doing, whatever. They don't. And I try to tell people, look, it's not personal. They care. They love you. They just don't know what to do. We all know. Do you think I know what to say when I'm going to the hospital when Randy and Melissa's little baby is ready to die? Do you think I knew what to say when I'm driving down there? No, I go, God, what do you want me to say? Do I know what to say when I go see Shannon in the hospital? No, I don't know what to say. I'm just as weak and human as you are. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us something to say. He can do it. He can do it. Are we willing to trust Him? Are we willing to go out on those branches and believe that God will help us? I was so blown away by a brother in the Lord. Just recently came to the Lord, about a year ago, and he was struggling with this thing inside of him that God wanted him to call his mother-in-law and forgive her. And it was like, unbelievable. This woman was wicked. This woman had done and said things to him for years that were so terrible, so hurtful. He couldn't do it. He couldn't sleep. He was wrestling with God speaking this. Finally, he picked up the phone. He called her and he told her, look, I want to forgive you for all the hurtful things. Not only that, I want you to forgive me. Would you forgive me for the things I did to you? That's the Holy Spirit. That's when we know the power of the Holy Spirit is working in somebody's life. We want to live lives that are literally unexplainable otherwise. So on 4th of July, Steve and Mike and B and I, we went over to visit Timmy. He was at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. We're in line getting, I don't know, something. And all of a sudden, there's this guy that wheels up in a wheelchair, and he's a quadriplegic. He's got the little toggle, you know. That's all he can do is just, Mike nudges me and goes, hey, that's Jeff. Okay. He said, he's an evangelist. I'm thinking, what? He's an evangelist? He can't even hold his head up. Yeah, he says, he's got a ministry. He goes to bus stops and shares the gospel with people and gives them tracts. I'm willing to bet if we took any 12 of us in this room, grouped us all together, Jeff has led more people to the Lord in the last year, and he's been doing it for 15 years, by the way, than any 12 of us put together. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We all know quadriplegics that are sitting at home doing nothing, wasting their life away thinking they have no life. Yeah, in the flesh they don't, but you know what? It's the Holy Spirit in us. Johnny Erickson is another example of that. You know, we want to be an unexplainable church with unexplainable lives, and the Holy Spirit is what gives it to us. You know, we all have natural talents, don't we? And we can, as a church, hire the right people, and there are a lot of churches that have decided to do that, hire the right people, you know, the ones with all the talent. But is this really the type of church we want to be, one that is all about programs, facilities, and entertainments? Or do we want to be a church that's a gathered group of people that say, something's going on over there, and we can't really explain it, but just God is showing up. God's in their midst. God is working in people's lives, and we don't understand it. It can't be put on, you can't put your finger on anything. And I think the Lord likes that, don't you? The Lord wants us to be there, that where we're in positions where we are completely dependent upon Him. Just completely dependent. That delights His heart. Francis Chan said this, "We've created a whole brand of churches that do not depend on the Spirit, and a whole culture of Christians who are not disciples, but a new group of followers who don't even follow." And that's, unfortunately, where American Christianity is going. But you know what? I don't want our church to be like that. And it's so easy to get sucked that way because it looks so good. And you know what? It works for numbers. But who cares? I don't want a church that's a mile wide and an inch deep. We want a church that's deeper than the love of God, amen? That can spread out and do His works. What God cares about most is not how big we are, but how faithful we are. Not how smart we are, but how obedient we are. Not how famous we are, but how much you and I are like Jesus. Not how much we know, but how much we love. And you know what? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You know, I can be a good teacher. We can have great worship. We can have great ministries in the church. But without the Holy Spirit, all we are is just a bunch of actors on a stage. He is vital, vital, vital. And Jesus said, "I send the promise of the Father unto you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And the key point here is the promise of the Father is power. And the Holy Spirit comes from an encounter, comes from an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and it's promised to us by no one else but, get this, Jesus Himself. And it was His last dying words. Think about it. When He was dying, this is what the youth are going to learn on retreat. Brent is, and Betsy and Allie are going to be teaching them. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. What are those? That's His last words, His last will and testimony. How many times did the Holy Spirit kind of come up in the conversation? Constantly, over and over again. That's what He wanted to talk about. Why? Because He knew it was so important. Read the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit's all over the book. So Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit all the time because He knows you're going to need Him in order to live the life that I'm calling you to live. You can't do it on your own. We're not even called to do it on our own. So there's a big gap between what we see in the book of Acts and what we see in most churches today and most Christians today. And this is my concern and why I'm passionate about this subject tonight, is that I think that the disconnect between what the Bible talks about regarding the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and in the life of Christians is not seen today. It's missing in churches. It's the something missing in American Christianity because we are starting to rely on all of our wealth, our prosperity. It's the church that Jesus said, "I know, you know, you think you're rich, but you are nothing but poor. You're poor, blind, and naked." Why? Because they don't need the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? We can hire what we need. We've got all the comforts. We've got all the props. But when we as God's people begin to live a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, talk about exciting. Whew. Talk about exciting. So I'm hoping tonight that I'm igniting something in you that God has ignited in me. And I'm pushing you out on those branches like God has been pushing me to say, and look at my life and say, you know what? You know, maybe I have been grieving the Holy Spirit. Maybe I've been quenching Him because He can be quenched. He's not going to push us out on the branch. He will encourage us out there. And you know what? He'll meet us out there on the limb. Amen? The key point here is the church becomes powerless and useless when it's purely a human creation. And the only thing that makes us something superhuman is the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we've got truth, yeah. But you know, a lot of dead churches have truth. But if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, what good is it? Amen? Father, I ask, Lord, that You would help us, that You would stir in us and push us out onto the limbs. Lord, that we would be willing to be stretched out there and used by You. And so, Lord, as we transition now into our question and answer time, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would help us. And Lord, just like the leaders were coming up here, we don't know what to say. We don't know how to answer these questions. But Lord, we want to trust that your Holy Spirit would give us as just human vessels something that would impart encouragement and grace and strength and wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ and your precious Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can live more fruitfully for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.